Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. Daniel was terrified by a vision. That's what my Bible says. That's not part of God's word, just in case you forget. Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, our nation doesn't know what you hold in store for the days to come. These past few years, months, even decades have been uncertain, but we pray to receive your kingdom in our lives, regardless of what comes to pass. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right. This is happening in the third year of King Cyrus, the Lord's anointed. He was a Persian emperor who God calls his Messiah, his anointed one in Isaiah. But we're starting on verse 10, and we're going to go through verse 14 and then skip down to verse 18. Daniel comforted on verse 10. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, precious one, beloved even, understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, the vision he just saw, and humbled yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the visions pertaining to the days yet future. Skip down to verse 18. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. He said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, May my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except for Michael, your prince. Isn't that like a wild passage of scripture? When I was a kid, I always wondered about this. Did anybody else read this as a kid and just wonder what was going on? I was always curious too. Okay, well, as odd as it sounds to our ears, Daniel 10 is simply revealing an unspoken common assumption throughout the entirety of the Hebrew scriptures. And that was that the gods worshipped in the other nations were real but created finite beings made to advocate or protect the nations or tribes they represented. In ancient Israelite thinking, it is not just human beings that have guardian angels. Every tongue, tribe, and nation also has an angelic lobbyist interceding on its behalf in the heavenly bureaucracy before the throne of the living God. Even God's chosen nation of Israel itself had a patron lobbyist, their prince, the archangel Michael. Now, this is a spoiler alert for the book of Revelation and, you know, the New Testament if you think about it. But of course, in biblical thinking, these patron national tribal guardian angels rebelled against heaven and against God and usurped God's place of worship among the tribes they were given to shepherd, and thereby became the illegitimate gods of these nations. And in doing so, they actually reshaped the cultural personality of their tribes or nations in their image and not God's. That's actually how the ancient Israelites understood cultural tensions or racial conflicts. Well, they do things differently because that other angel's in charge of them. And so these are the powers, principalities, thrones, and dominions of spiritual wickedness in high places that always oppose the light of the gospel, encroaching upon the tribe they keep in spiritual darkness. Or in this case, just opposing an angel dispatched to answer a prayer for Daniel on their Persian national turf. Lately, it's been easy for me to feel like Daniel. Sometimes it feels like some nation's fallen angelic prince of God knows where is opposing me and thwarting God's answers to my prayers for America. I mean, maybe it's the prince of America himself. I don't know. But 2020 was rough for America and for me watching the nation I love. And after seeing this Q shaman guy leading a storming of Capitol Hill on January 26th of this year, 2021 is not shaping up to be any better. Has anyone actually watched the YouTube video of him? It's like 3 minutes long inside the Senate chamber after they got in leading the prayer. Has anyone heard the prayer? You have? Yeah. It was disturbing, wasn't it? Yeah. Did you watch the 60 Minutes interview with this guy from his jail cell last Sunday night? No one watched that? I'm the only one in here that watches 60 Minutes. Wow. Okay, well, I guess. It's very popular among the 40 and under crowd, let me tell you. 60 Minutes there. But in our current political climate, it would be so tempting to preach a sermon today against the perniciously false gospels of communism, globalism, you know, and any other left-wing Trojan horse that promises to achieve justice on earth through, I don't know, entitledly wallowing in our own virtue signaling and or victimhood in order to gain political power over others. I really want to preach that message. And that message, no matter how good it would feel to give to you today, and no matter how scriptural I could make it, and I could. The Bible's very clear on this, okay? I don't think it's necessary for you guys. I think we all understand what's happening in the communist paradise of Venezuela right now and why we don't want it here, correct? Sila, do you understand too? Ask your grandma. She'll explain it later. Okay, just say yes. All right, please. Please for me to say yes. All right, nonetheless, in light of the storming of the Capitol 2 months ago in the name of patriotism, mom, dad, and apple pie, I think as Christians we need to have our eyes wide open to the spiritual significance of whatever happened in our nation on January 6th. If you haven't watched the videos, have you at least seen the photos of the QAnon shaman, this Jacob Chansley, who changed his name to Jake Angeli, like my angel, you know, draped in the American flag, shirtless with like Viking religious tattoos on his chest with his war-painted face. Have you seen these pictures? You know, yeah, we've seen them. You know, like he had that Hagar the Horrible horned helmet on. You know, and he's got his little bullhorn and he's waving his little sign that says, Q sent me. We saw those, right? You didn't see those? Oh, well, yeah, they're all over the news. Okay. Well, at first, I found it hilarious that such a thing could be done, even in the name of freedom. But my second thought was, you know, this unemployed pagan, you know, pagan worshiper needs to stop watching Game of Thrones from his mom's basement. I mean, it's really my first thought. That's terrible to say. That's actually what I thought. But then after I found out 5 people died, including a police officer, it wasn't funny anymore. And then I was like really, you know, kind of like obsessed with finding out the identity of these people. I guess it's up to 240 now that have been arrested for storming the Senate. And as far as the unifying profile among the arrested goes, our Q shaman, as you know, he's kind of like the usual suspect you'd expect. He's an unemployed like rabble rouser who is actually living with his single mom. Yeah, he's actually the exception, not the rule. As like we have over 200 arrests now, and instead there's a much kind of upsetting profile of your average arrested person. It's a formerly mild-mannered, often self-made, like successful professional, and many of them are now shocked and despising their own frenzied behavior that day. And I mean, I understand. I mean, alone and inside a jail cell, excuse me, It's easy to find yourself once again clothed, sane, and in your right mind. But don't ask me how I know. But often, they all seemingly, but what really upsets me as a person with, I like to think, some discernment, is that they all seemingly had to have the same heartbreakingly honest thing to say for themselves. A lot of them did. It was, I don't know what happened. I just got caught up in the moment. And of course, you know, cynical liberal talking heads, you know, were snidely reporting that the moment must have been very long for these once productive members of society to, you know, book plane tickets, hotels, sign up for their church's March of Jericho rallies that day, and then schedule vacations to come to D.C. Nonetheless, I believe those confused and embarrassed formerly law-abiding citizens spoke the truth. After listening again and again to the same morning after story of the animating spirit that drove them onward, I believe with all my heart that they are as much victims of the madness that day as the five people who lost their lives. It is a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And they can take you farther than you ever thought you'd want to go. That's why the sign on the liquor store says wine and spirits. Now, the identity of the living God behind this mess is hinted at even the words an atheist must use to describe it on the news. It was a storming of the Capitol. It was not so much a mostly peaceful protest firebombing a vile bourgeois commercial district, and neither was it slightly riotous redistributionist activism by greedy thugs. That means looting. Nor was it an assault on our democracy, no matter what CNN tells you. No, this was not an assault. This was a storming. A pathetically impotent storming, but a storming nonetheless. And in a way, I find that all the more disturbing. A thunderstorm broke upon the unsuspecting heads of everyone in the Capitol, and then departed as quickly as it came, as if borne on the wind of eagle's wings, leaving self-loathing and conflicted human and conflicted people holding the bag for their ridiculously ill-advised actions. And so, with this in mind, I began to speculate if January 6th was like the work of some rebellious prince of nations, like in Daniel 10. I don't know, like the prince of America, the prince of some other country. I mean, as silly as it sounds, Daniel 10 has tremendous explanatory power for making sense of what happened in our nation at the Capitol. Whoever studied mythology when they were kids a lot, who loved mythology? I love mythology. I was hooked on mythology, Greek, Roman, Norse, Germanic. I like the European mythologies, I'm not going to lie. Maybe I'm partial, I don't know. But if there was a demonic prince of God knows where behind it all, the pagan icons and imagery all over the placards, tattoos, and even the medieval clothing of many of the participants should have tipped us off, you know, like the clues were right there. You know, they were dressed up like it was, you know, something, you know. And if a renegade prince of nations was inspiring this mess, I would have to say in hindsight, looking at it, that the wandering magician Wotan, the prince of Germany, would have to be, mythologically speaking, the usual suspect, as he, from all his legends, is a well-known Caesar of men's wills who possesses their bodies on the battlefield and drives them to berserker heroic exploits. Or in this case, bringing zip ties to a gunfight. Who is Wotan? Maybe you've never heard about him. He is the German berserker god of frenzy, storm, battle lust, magic, mischief, misdirection, and mayhem. And if any mythological god of pre-Christian antiquity could be blamed in a modern-day court of law, if we still got away with that, you know, Wotan made me do it would probably be these people's best legal defense. Truth be told, I posited this Wotan hypothesis weeks ago and just kept it to myself as a half-believed mythological musing, you know, like what if. I mean, I did wonder if I'd read too many comparative mythology books as a teenager. And to be honest, despite Daniel 10's explanatory power for the events of January 6, ascribing them to Wotan, the Prince of Germany, or even some Daniel 10 Prince of America, did seem a little silly, even to me. Still, a fallen angelic principality like Wotan does not need to literally exist for the myth of him to be a useful interpretation of the mass hysteria. I mean, that is why myths exist, to make sense of things we see in the outside world. Even as a metaphor, Wotan explains the distinctly berserker atmosphere of the disgruntled evangelical patriots clumsily acting as one man. I mean, if not Wotan, what other causes are there, as silly as it sounds? I mean, even taken together, the threefold explanation of mob mentality, false megachurch Trump re-election prophecies, and emboldening QAnon conspiracy theories, they just don't seem enough, even together, all three don't seem enough to get these decent people to spontaneously transform from Tea Partiers to stormtroopers rushing the Senate. But if Wotan does exist, this is exactly the sort of chaos he is famous for. And I know speaking about Wotan in a church does sound silly, but the reality is that Germanic tribal paganism, as an alternative to Christendom, has been making a comeback in this nation among conservative Caucasians for over 40 years. In Daniel 10 terminology, the old princes of the northern European nations are reclaiming people they had once lost to the Christian God well over 1,000 years ago. Even before the voting on November 3rd, I heard a lot of Christians talk about taking back what's ours on election day. The reality right now is that the only God taking back what's his in this country seems to be Wotan. 10,000 churches close their door in our nation every year. And more than a few of those old church buildings are being bought out by these Germanic faith groups and repurposed as houses of worship to German paganism. As our unifying identity as fellow Americans further fragments due to the self-destructive identity politics that are so popular now, it almost feels like God's restraining handhold on our nation's diverse peoples is now increasingly too weak to save us from fratricidal violence. Am I the only one afraid of what I see sometimes? I mean, this scares me. And nonetheless, for all my talk of Wotan here today, I didn't take this little pet fancy seriously. I mean, the idea of a literal personal Wotan pulling the strings from behind the curtain wasn't so much a genuine reality for me as it was just another way to make sense of what I perceive to be our nation's downhill trajectory from a spiritual dimension. For me, it was true, but it wasn't truth. It was true the same way that Darth Vader betrayed and murdered Luke Skywalker's father, from a certain point of view. That Mr. Jacob Angeli, this Q shaman, was clearly possessed. I never doubted that. I just didn't think you needed Wotan, to explain that possession, because, you know, he just looked so ridiculous. But then 2 or 3 weeks after the global embarrassment of January 3rd, I actually watched the YouTube video of this Q shaman leading the charge inside the Capitol building, or as he described in his interview from prison last Sunday night, his spiritual warfare, I guess, to bring God back into the holy chamber of the Senate. And I watched the video, and I saw that as he led that group of God-fearing patriots into storming the chamber, he then got on his bullhorn once they got there, like almost like no one knew what to do with their zip ties, and he led the most defiant prayer on behalf of our nation that any red-blooded evangel American could ask for. It's really good. And at first, my heart was conflicted because I don't like socialists, totalitarians, or the deep state either. But then I realized, whoa, maybe this is really kind of a pathetic show of force that's going to have consequences. Jesus doesn't want us storming the halls of power in order to try to control this nation from the top down by coercive political means. I mean, and that's what we'd have to do, being how we lost the culture war decades ago. And that's when I really, from that moment, begin to wonder if there really was a literal person from Wotan playing those poor people for fools. Because as this Q shaman continued to invoke God's presence in the Holy Senate, in that Holy Senate chamber, and wage defiant spiritual warfare against the Constitution's domestic enemies, the communists, the globalists, and the tyrants, the rest of the God-fearing Americans in that chamber, with heads bowed and eyes closed, were echoing a chorus of amens, because they thought they were actually praying not to Wotan, but to Christ. This madman actually had the audacity to end the prayer in Jesus' name. To the boisterous agreement of all the patriots in that room, who really somehow believed that Jesus had approved of what they'd just done. And it was nothing but a prayer to Baal, and no one in there knew it. Because that's the problem with being one of Wotan's children. You don't always know you are until he seizes you to do his bidding, and you go berserk, you know. And then when you come to yourself in the cell, then you realize it was all just bowing the knee to Baal, because that's all who Wotan is, just Baal. Baal isn't even a literal name. It's a title. It just means the Lord. And it doesn't matter whether you call him Thor of the Norse, Wotan of the Germans, Jupiter of the Romans, Zeus of the Greeks, Lord Indra of the Hindus, or Lord Indaro of the ancient Hittites. It's still just the Indo-European storm god of thunder and lightning. And when the Hittites took over the Holy Land before Abraham was even born, they brought Baal worship into that land that would become Israel. It was that land of Canaan was Baal's turf when the 12 tribes arrived. And if I'm reading my Bible correctly, it was still Baal's turf when they left into captivity in Assyria and Babylon centuries later. And they didn't even realize it. The problem with being an Israelite Baal worshiper, even one circumcised on the eighth day, is that none of them knew they were. All those prophet-murdering idolaters thought they were good, God-fearing citizens of the Holy Kingdom of Israel. And just like the nation of Israel on Mount Carmel, before the 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah, all those patriots storming Capitol Hill, praying in Jesus' name, got caught wavering between two opinions. They were confused as to whether Baal was God or the Lord Yahweh was. And this is because they had conflated them in their heart long ago, like the ancient Israelites had. They couldn't distinguish the still small voice of the Lord from the thunderous voice of Baal on the mountaintop, driving them to follow this false prophet in a horned shaman's helmet, cursing their enemies in Jesus' name. They nodded in agreement with amens on their lips as he appealed to Baal in order to take back our nation. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. It's one of my favorite verses. I grew up with it on the walls of my churches. It's a meme I've shared on Facebook, I'm not going to lie. I've shared it more than once, probably more than once in the past 12 months, actually. With the American flag in the background and the verse in the front. And I hate to say it, but when I share that meme on Facebook, I'm not talking for you, I'm talking for me, I'm usually trying to encourage my fellow godless American neighbors to repent of their immorality and, dare I say, even perverse voting practices. However, when I read the Word of God, I sometimes begin to wonder that if America has any standing or vocation in common with God's miraculously called and exceptionally chosen nation of Israel, it's this. It's this verse right here. Because Second Chronicles 7:14 was given to a nation being blessed by God with a new temple. It was being, and with Solomon, it was being given to a nation that was blissfully unaware of its Baal worship problem. and the angel of the Lord, which to a Trinitarian Christian is a pre-incarnate Christ, destroyed this people here who were called by his name for this Baal worship problem before they ever recognized they had one. They were walking in such darkness that they couldn't see the difference between Baal, the son of El, riding on the clouds, and the angel of the Lord of hosts in his chariot of fire. And once again, 3,000 years later in our American nation, we believe ourselves to be called by God's name, and maybe we can't tell the difference between Baal and Jesus either. Those patriots agreeing in prayer with the Q shaman in the Senate chamber sure couldn't. The storm that seized these patriots at the Capitol was done mostly by people who thought they belonged to Jesus. And maybe they do. I'm not even saying they don't. Maybe they once had before they took their eyes off him. I don't know. But I do know that the God I serve, when Jesus was on the way to the cross in chains before earthly authorities, he declared that my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I would not be handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. We can't use force to storm the halls of earthly government tweeting 1776 with zip ties for Nancy Pelosi without bowing the knee for Baal. I honestly don't know exactly what January 6th means for Christians in America, but I got the nagging foreboding that this January 6th is going to be used against us for persecution one way or the other. And that would fit with the Wotan mythology too, because in his stories, he is just mischievous enough to be six steps ahead and have a long end game in mind, and would gladly have compelled those patriots to act towards their destruction and ours. I don't think January 6th was a Christian nationalist coup, but I'm not sure it's not going to be used against us to persecute us as if it were. So we'd better buckle up our buttercups, because whatever is happening to our nation in this time of upheaval, I'm not sure we're going to come out on top in this one. Instead of taking back what's ours, I'm curious, we just need to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways for a season of repentance. Because whatever's going to happen in this country, it's not going to be the religious right snatching victory from the jaws of defeat in a culture war that we were never called to be in, much less win. Not without Wotan or Baal's help, anyway. I mean, 240 well-regulated, card-carrying Wotan worshipers storming the Capitol with a plan, they wouldn't have brought zip ties and bullhorns. And there are groups like that that exist. And who knows? They might have even pulled it off with Baal's help. But even if they had managed to somehow stop the steal, and maybe even we would have somehow profited off that culturally as Christians in America for another season, we could have easily lost our own soul. Because Christ's kingdom is not of this world, and his sheep know his voice, and it says, "Take up your cross and follow me." Even though he had every right to rebel from the oppressive Roman regime exploiting him. And I'm challenged by this, because how long have I wavered myself between two opinions? But in the end, after a lot of soul searching these last 2 months, I really think that I'd rather face the consequence of losing a culture war in America through treachery and remain in Christ than win it by somehow desperately bowing the knee to Baal with strange bedfellows. The altar is open. I don't know exactly what repentance means, but I do know that maybe, I don't even know, I just wonder if maybe instead of sending that Facebook meme out to people on my friends list, I should have been reading it myself and wondering if I was supposed to be the one to repent all these years. And if I think maybe, if anything, I need to repent of mistaking God's continued blessing in my life for somehow his approval of my spiritual estate or me wavering for two opinion between two opinions, or even just to repent of, I don't know, believing in the power of the political process in America to make a nation more fit to be called by God's name. I don't know if I need to personally repent of having a form of godliness but denying the power of thereof. All I know is I am scared and tremble for my people's future as American Christians in this nation in the next 20 and 30 years. I fear for my sons, I fear for my daughters, I fear for my grandchildren. But although it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God, like Baal or Wotan, the worst persecution they can do is slit our throats and think they're doing God a favor. Falling into the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is something else entirely. And he said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Once again, the altar is open.